Okay, the thing that nobody understands about Nazi Germany was that the German people had a great life. Their farms were safe. To them, the Gestapo walking up and down the street with rifles in their hands meant safety and security to them. They had been so propagandized and terrorized by the threats, the so-called threats that the Jews posed, and the communists, and the anarchists, and the union organizers, that they felt the Gestapo was needed to patrol the streets. People forget that Hitler manufactured violence in order to justify his rise to power, and once he got to power, he used that manufactured violence as an excuse to curtail people's rights and to establish the Gestapo to spy on the citizens. And people all thought this was a good thing. They didn't resent the fact that they were being spied on. They thought that it was a reasonable trade-off for security, for the most part. Of course, there was elements. There were people aware that civil liberties were being encroached on, and that there were illegal arrests and detainments. That people were disappearing, and there wasn't any record of what had happened to them, and there wasn't any documentation as to why they were taken away. And there was resistance. There was quite a lot of resistance, actually, but it was never reported on by the German state corporate media. If there were any protests in the streets, it was never covered. There was never any pictures of it appeared in the paper. You would have been shocked to hear that there were protests in front of the Reichstag in the early years, because it was never covered. As far as the German media was concerned, the country of Germany was unified in its approach to the economic and political threats that supposedly were harming it. And there was no acknowledgement there that there might be alternative views as to how to handle the so-called crisis. Once Germany began invading its neighbors, the German media never once published pictures of dead German soldiers coming back. The German media never published pictures of the bombed-out cities, or the Hungarian, or the Polish, or the French military and civilian dead and wounded. All of that was ignored. So the German people thought that the German troops were marching into all these countries and being hailed as heroes. And Hitler was running around proclaiming victory here and there and everywhere. And of course, in the early days, quite a lot of that was right. But just like in Iraq, we found out, the German people found out later that all those declarations of victory were slightly premature. When you're up against this kind of machine, with the kind of ruthlessness and efficiency that's apparent, the idea that people would go to a wine tasting and mutter some condolences about all the civilian dead in Iraq, and talk about how appalling it is that our civil liberties are being eroded, and consider that they've done their part to make change in the war machine, is just a little disappointing, to say the least. Since we can't get photos in the newspapers of the Iraqi dead, or the flattening of Fallujah and other Iraqi cities, and we can't get, we don't see images of American soldiers coming back. It's time for the painters and the artists, the arts community to begin illustrating that stuff. I'm sorry, but writing wine reviews, if you have the capability to put three words together, is just a little puff in times like these. If you really have a commitment to making a change, it's time to expend a little energy in making sure that people know what's going on. If you have the ability to write, let's fill the letters to the editor with the truth. If we can't get any other outlet, if you have an ability to talk, find a microphone and get in front of it and start talking the truth. And if you can paint, or if you can illustrate, it's time for images of Fallujah to... there needs to be paintings out there entitled Fallujah, just like Picasso's Guernica. We need to get the idea to the American people that what's going on is not wholesome, it's not apple pie, it's not mom, it's horrible, it's ugly, it's immoral, it's illegal, and it's an atrocity. And it's up to people who have the ability to convey that message to start making a little bit of a sacrifice and convey it. I mean, come on, we've got people out there, talented artists out there, who would rather steal the or misappropriate the images of other cultures, painting pictures of dream catchers and using other Native American images to make themselves and everybody else feel better about the gaping hole in their spirituality, than trying to convey some social message that there's some horrible things going out there that people need to pay attention to. I want to see the painting Bagram. I want to see the painting Fallujah. I want to hear the pirate radio, the alternative radio waves filled up with millions and millions of voices, not just a few, but anybody who can get their mouth in front of a microphone speaking out about the horrors of this war and the horrors of this military-industrial complex that's eating our children alive, and not just eating our children alive, but eating this world alive. I was around in the days of the Vietnam War. I was around in quite a few places. I made it to any demonstration that I could, and of course I was young then, and a little bit of a ne'er-do-well. Well, maybe more than a little bit, but the point is, I was willing and able to devote a good part of my life to making sure that people understood how bad the Vietnam War was and the situation surrounding it. And of course, in those days, at least the media would cover something if it was bad enough. And the line was, if it bleeds, it leads. So there were thousands of people willing to go out there and get their heads underneath a billy club so that there was blood to put on the nightly news. And people could see that there were people determined to resist the war, the draft, and the deceptions that were going on then. But nowadays it seemed like there are quite a few people who are willing to go out in the street and willing to carry a sign, but when they put you in a free speech zone and the cameras are facing the other way, it's kind of a pointless enterprise. We need to get back to, if it bleeds, it leads. You people need to get their heads under cops' billy clubs. People need to be out there. Since the media refuses to cover demonstrations, but they have all these mobile units that go out to fires and shopping malls and police standoffs and things like that. There needs to be there needs to be squads that are willing to chase those mobile units, and wherever they set up behind the reporter, there ought to be people walking back and forth yelling, "Stop the war, stop the war, stop the genocide, stop the torture." Every place they set up, that needs to be, and they either get it on camera or they keep their mobile units inside. And if they do that, then we surround the news studios. Because this war will never be stopped so long as the people who oppose it and the people that understand that it's wrong are sitting there in a circle talking to each other. We need to turn our backs and start talking to those outside the circle. And we need to come up with tactics to make sure that other people are hearing us. You know, when you start paying attention, this regime that's in power now, we already know it's intent on completely bankrupting this country. It's intent on taking away as many of our rights as it possibly can. It's intent on expanding the empire as far and as ruthlessly as possible in the world. So it's hard to see how there's much difference between what they're trying to promote and what Adolf Hitler was trying to promote. And if it was worth giving your life to defeat Hitler, what's it worth to defeat Bush? Isn't it worth taking a few days off work, or maybe even making a change in your career to put an end to it? My God, people were executed in firing squads. They were starved to death in concentration camps, and they knew that was a possibility, but they still stood up to Hitler and his regime in World War II. And yes, for the people that went to war in this country, they were the greatest generation, but imagine those people who knew exactly what they were getting into when they stood up to Hitler unarmed. Remember that during World War II in this country, we converted all of our factory capacity to making war, all of our farming capacity. The entire nation went to war, and they made whatever sacrifices were necessary to defeat Hitler and the Japanese dictators. There's a lot of argument, legitimate argument about our motives for doing that, but the fact is the entire country was mobilized to in the effort, and the entire country was willing to make sacrifices. And what I see is a lot of wishy-washy liberals out there who aren't willing to give up a wine tasting to save anybody's life. We have people out there who say they support workers' rights, and of course we know how many people died in order for Americans and workers around the world to have weekends off so that they can spend a little time with their family. But these people will sit around and bemoan the fact that the unions are getting weaker and weaker, and then they go and talk to the boss and say, "Well, you don't have to worry about me. I'm a good little Johnny, and I'm not going to make any trouble here because I need my job too bad." I don't know what it is about this generation that we aren't willing to experience much discomfort in order to make the world better. We spend an awful lot of time discussing how it could be better and how important it is that change be made, but we aren't going to give up our bum sweatshirts or waste much effort looking for a union label. And we certainly aren't going to go out and risk maybe having to wear a pair of handcuffs for a few hours to put an end to all the death and destruction that's being perpetrated around the world. So come on, folks, let's get up off our duffs. Let's start making those Guernica paintings, those Fallujah paintings. Let's fill the letters to the editors pages with the truth, and make sure that they get so many letters they have to add another page. Let's make sure that that the news media has nowhere to turn, nowhere to put their cameras where they aren't facing a sign that says "Stop the war, stop the genocide, stop the torture." Take a little coordination to do that, but like in the city that I live near, there's only 3 news outlets and with cameras. So a squad of 12 people could monitor that and make sure that that happens. That's not a lot of people in a city of 150 to 200,000 people. Tactics and organization, that was the key to putting an end to the Vietnam War. It's going to be a key to putting an end to the neocon corporate coup that's taken over this country. You know, I heard recently a really good statement that I'm going to be sure to use a lot of. It was, and people say you are what you think, and give that a moment. You know, you're walking down the street, you're awfully busy, and some homeless man, dirty and poor, comes up to you and says, have you got any spare change? And what you think is you want to get away from this guy as fast as you can. You are what you think, you know. You just thought yourself out of the compassion loop. You decided that you're a winner, he's a loser, and you just want out of the way. Well, that's the program they're selling, folks. Except first they came for the homeless, and then they came for the working poor, and then they came for the blue collar workers, and then they came for the white collar workers, and then they came to me, and there was nobody left to stand beside me. So let's remember, solidarity with everybody is the only way we get out of this mess. The neocons and those folks are experts at dividing us into little segments. You know, they want us to be fighting over gay marriage and stem cell research and abortion rights and all of the other things that you can divide up the masses into smaller and smaller segments. You know, you take a nice big chunk of wood and put it on a chopping block, you can split it up into really fine kindling in no time, and it burns real fast. Well, that's what they're doing to us, folks. Unified, we're a pretty strong block, but they keep splitting us up. All we are is kindling for the fire. This is the Labor News. My name's Glenn Lang. Thanks for listening.